you want. We've got an mighty hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games, and you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, well, you listen to this podcast too, and you rant about this podcast too. Just a side where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss the grin the bridges. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too?
Welcome in the Mountain West Connection Show here. Jeremy Moss hanging out with Chris Hondras. You know where to find us. MWCConnection.com, Facebook, Mountain West Connection, MWCConnection on Twitter. We're all over the place, and we're here to recap week four, and hopefully this hits your RSS feed Sunday night, right?
Yeah. We are actually doing it early today.
And I'm here for the recap.
Like early in the day on Sunday. We usually do it Sunday night, but we're actually doing it like super early today.
Yeah, we're doing it quite well, and I'm actually here for the recap, so that's something new.
I think that's less about you being here and more of Matt's hiding somewhere, and we don't know where he is.
He's sticking around. He alerted us to some news how Ford Childress is out with a ruptured spleen. He started last night for Fresno State, and that's got to hurt. I know Jason Witten of the Dallas Cowboys wanted to play with the...
Of course it's got to hurt. It's a ruptured spleen.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, like, the Dallas Cowboys, Jason Witten had a... Not a ruptured spleen, but some sort of spleen. I don't know if it was bruised or a sliced something, but he wanted to play with the spleen injury.
Ugh.
So I don't know how that's out. We should check WebMD, but Matt's with us. He wrote an excellent recap on the game that was posted, 1:30 Pacific time a.m. last night to recap the
struggles.
It was
good assurance that he was still surviving after the blowout loss last night.
Yeah. It really quick, have you filled out your power poll this week?
Which one?
The conference one, I should say.
Oh, no, I haven't filled out the conference one.
I filled out mine. I put Boise number one just because they're playing extremely well, and we'll get to all the games here in a minute. I kept with, like, I got to look it up, but it's like Boise, I think, Air Force, CSU. And number four, we were sticking Utah State. I think I still stuck Utah State, but I think San Jose State's my number one West team at the moment.
Yeah, they're definitely up there. I think I'm with you there.
And I think Fresno, I put them as 11, so. Let's get to some games here now.
So you mean worse than... No, still better than Wyoming.
Yes, Wyoming's 12. Yeah, they're 12 for me. We'll get to all that, but I just wanted your quick input if you filled that out. But I think they're the top team in the West because we'll talk about the Aztecs.
Well, we're doing this podcast. I'll fill it out right now.
Sure, might as well. We'll do it as we go. Let's get to the first game of the weekend. Friday night, Boise State at Virginia. If you missed the first 10 seconds of this game, you missed a touchdown, folks.
Yeah.
There was a
absolute
pick six. I was like, what? Because I was at work. The game started kind of earlier for me, so I didn't pull up my stream yet. It started somehow it started on time, which was kind of surprising. There was a, outside of the four interceptions, it was Justin Tamitua right there with the pick six. Mercy Mastin had one later, but it was 7-0, right, 10 seconds into the game. And Virginia's not very good. We kind of chatted about this, and we probably will as well. I think we chatted before about it, but Virginia played UCLA okay. They nearly beat Notre Dame, but Notre Dame struggled versus UMass, so I don't know how good Virginia is because they are 1-3 at the moment, but they just smoked them.
Yeah, it was not even close. And like in the preview, I was predicting a 2-touchdown win, or, you know, pretty big win. I was not expecting this just utter destruction.
Well, how could you? You had a true freshman making his first career start on the road, and ripping 24-35, 321, 3 touchdowns. Even if he had that, that's impressive by itself. I think what really helped him, or at least made him more at ease, the pick six, the plus, what are they, plus 4 in turnovers. They got 4 interceptions. That had to make him feel comfortable, especially the first one to go up 7-0. His first drive to go down and score a touchdown, they're up 14, zip right out of the gate. And I joked, I'm filling out my overreaction. I'm already saying he's better than Kellen Moore. Is that too much to say?
That's a little bit too much to say. But people are making comparisons to Kellen Moore. I was making comparisons to Kellen Moore. I think it's reasonable to make comparisons to Kellen Moore, but I don't think it's, you know, I don't think he's going to be better than Kellen Moore. But, you know, who knows? Kellen Moore, when he started, he was a redshirt freshman. He wasn't a true freshman.
That's very true. But it's also an overreaction piece as well, so that's why I'm going with it. Once it posted, you'll see what I mean.
Yeah, overreactions. You need to put in the intro that this is an overreaction, meaning don't take it seriously.
I do, but I'm looking at...
And my power poll's in.
Oh, your power poll? Where'd you put San Jose State?
I put them 6th.
6th? Who's ahead of them? What West team do you have ahead of them? Nevada?
Oh, no. Sorry, no. I don't have them 6th. I have them 4th. Sorry about that.
So let me guess, you have Utah State 5th then?
Yes.
Okay, I can see that. I struggled with that pick as well, but I think it put Utah State
Boise
ahead.
Air Force, Colorado State, San Jose State, Utah State, and then Nevada came right after Utah State.
I can see that. I believe I struggled with Nevada, San Jose State, but especially at the quarterback situation, it'll be interesting to see there. But this game, like, I know it's obviously joking, the overreaction, but Virginia looked, they're sad at Virginia fade once again early in the game on the pick six. If you missed that, there's that to look forward to. But they start, not 14-0. They started off 10-0, 10-7. They missed a field goal. This could have been wide open, but they were just cruising, man. It was 14-0. I'm looking at the stupid ESPN play-by-play is inaccurate. Thanks for that, guys. It was 14-0, but they just crushed him. 6 plays, 80 yards, or second, his first drive as a starter. How does that happen?
It doesn't. And you say that, it's Virginia and everything like that, but remember, this is the same Virginia team. Lost to UCLA 34-16, which is, it's a blowout loss, but we're seeing how good UCLA is. Nearly beat Notre Dame and then struggled against William & Mary. So we weren't exactly sure which Virginia team was going to come out. I think we all knew it was going to be a win. But here's the thing. Brett Rypien's composure. And he got sacked last night 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
He got sacked and he got hit hard. So to still do what he did yesterday, 24 of 35, I said that was a 68% completion rate, 321 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Yeah, it was phenomenal. But even more phenomenal, still, you had Boise State's defense with 4 picks on the night. And you had Virginia rushing being held to 40 yards total.
You know what else helps rip in? Having Jeremy McNichols tear it up and only play 3 quarters.
Yeah, he tore it up. He was the third leading receiver, 5 receptions, 47 yards with a touchdown. And he only had 9 carries for 69 yards.
And one was a 40-yarder. And that first drive is where he got that. Where he helped Rippin get in comfortable. That first drive was a 47-yard run. So he played well. He got in the end zone, 3 times? He's leading the nation in rushing touchdowns with 10 or is it 7?
He's just leading. He's leading the nation in just general touchdowns, I think.
And awesomeness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and honestly, if you want a low point for Boise State in this game, they did not rush the ball very well at all.
You're right. Yeah.
31 carries, 89 yards.
And half of that was that
but
one
like
run.
I said, half of it was the one run. Ripien got sacked 4 times. And he ended up with -3 yards, and that was including an 11-yard carry that he had. Tommy Stewart, when he came in, got sacked a couple times. So, you know, the rushing team did not look great. But the quarterback play was all there. Like,
and look who he threw to. He wasn't throwing to one or two guys. He got Thomas Spurbeck had an amazing night. 5 for 121, a pair of touchdowns. Jake Groh had 5 passes. McNichols, 5. Shane Williams-Rode had 6 passes. He was spreading it around to everybody.
Yeah, yeah. How often do you see a tight end receiving once for 47 yards? That was the Holden Huff pass.
Yeah, Holden Huff, yeah. Austin Cottrell got another one. But, there's still things to work on because Virginia, we knew they weren't very good, but they showed signs that they were improving. But the rushing game's a concern. McNichols left, I believe it was a concussion, but there's no word about how serious it is as of yet.
Do not get me started on that. Anytime there's a concussion, the guy needs to sit a week.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, like, I know there's not varying degrees of it, but, I mean, there's no update about if that's
whether it was a concussion,
yeah,
or not.
Yeah, because we don't know. You said during the game, I think it's a concussion. I'm just saying we don't know if that's it or not. So that's what I'm going off of from the hit he took, how he left the game, didn't return. I'm just saying we don't know exactly what the injury is, if it's a concussion, if it was a shoulder, if it was anything else. That's what I'm getting at. Concussion, he should rest. I'm not sure who they're playing next week off the top of my head, but it's a big loss if he's going to miss a couple games. And I'm just saying we don't know the extent of what the injury is, not the extent of a concussion, because they're all bad. And there's no level of concussion anymore. The people who use that are doofuses because it's a concussion. It's not grade 10, grade 1, mild, whatever. It's just a concussion, and it's a bad thing. You got to work with it.
Well, apparently if he was a concussion, then I don't think he would have done I don't think he would have interviewed Friday night. He was in the post press conference.
Oh, I didn't hear it. Did they say anything about it, his injury status, or are they just saying we'll look at it later?
No. Jeremy McNichols was the one doing the interview. Like, they interviewed Ben Weaver, Jeremy McNichols, and Dante Dion.
But they didn't ask him about his injury during that time?
No, I don't know. I didn't listen.
Oh, maybe we should have done that. That would have been a good thing to look into. Well, that's the game we got. That's the first game. We'll get to all the stuff later. Boise got a couple votes in the poll. That might be ranked in a couple weeks. We'll see how that goes. But they got conference needed some good wins, and that was the first one. And that was the one Friday game we had. Then Saturday, or do you have something to add? One more thing to add to this game?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to butt in, or not butt in, but just chime in with something. Let's go to Saturday. What Saturday game do you want to start with? Anything?
Let's start with the first one, New Mexico, Wyoming.
You were correct. You were confident in this, and I was not. New Mexico winning this game, 30.
Not just winning. I said it was going to be about a touchdown, if not more. But New Mexico came out with this. Lamar Jordan,
woo,
boom, did what he needed to do. 5 of 8 for 107 yards passing. 15 carries for 147 yards rushing. I mean, Wyoming could not stop. And it was fine that after they went toe-to-toe with New Mexico, the problem is you can't be down 14-0 before you go toe-to-toe.
The interesting thing about this game, I like how, you're right, Lamar Jordan got the ball in the air, which they needed. He can do what he did, 5 of 8, that's perfectly fine, 100-plus yards. Carlos Wiggins finally got a big play. Here's what's the one thing that impresses me the most. Well, two things. Jarrell Presley finally showed up, and Taj Gibson did not, which is still unfortunate, but he had Richard McQuarrie get 55 yards and 2 touchdowns. But here's the thing. I've been watching Wyoming's statistics a little bit over the year. They have good players. Like, Cameron Coffin isn't playing all that terribly. However, New Mexico's defense shut down Brian Hill to 49 total yards rushing, which is, for any team, that's good. But for this New Mexico team, team of the week defensively or something, because if they can hold them to that few yards rushing, that's amazing, because Brian Hill's possibly a top three back in the conference.
Yeah. Yeah. If definitely not one of the better running backs in the league. I mean, he's not Leonard Fournette, but, he's definitely up there.
I just don't get with Wyoming how they're not any better, really, because Tanner Gentry, another big game, 130 yards. Kaufman, there's 2 interceptions, which is a big deal. But,
well, and really, I mean, what sealed this game was Wyoming had scored a touchdown in the last quarter, However, they were driving again. New Mexico had punted the ball. Wyoming was driving again. And who was it? None other than Dakota Cox.
The interception?
Making the interception to seal the game. I mean, Dakota Cox was making plays all game long. And really, it was something that we were finally expecting him to do. I mean, remember, he was injured all last year.
He had the torn ACL late in the year. So there's suspicion he may not be starting or full health week one. And that might have been the case against Tulsa. And I don't recall what he played against Mississippi Valley State, but it was late enough in the year. There's concern he may not be ready for week one. And intercepted two interceptions. The defense is actually showing something. Yeah, they give up a ton of yards, but they still, who cares? I don't care what New Mexico can give up 1,000 yards. They won the game. They have two wins on the year, which is a big deal for them. And Wyoming, as you can tell, Cameron Kaufman looks to be a good quarterback. They have Tanner Gentry. It's this more of their defense and offense, I think, is the issue at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Their defense needs to come together more. And I guess missing Nziocha was that big of a loss because, and remember, Nziocha is now playing in the NFL, but, how else do you explain just the defense taking a complete step back and unable to hold anything?
The guy Eddie Yarbrough, who could really realistically will be in the NFL next year or at least get a shot, he can't do it all himself. But we know New Mexico can run the ball. The thing is here that Lamar Jordan also ran for almost 150 yards. Normally, you'll see Presley get that and Jordan may get about 50 or 60. But this Wyoming just couldn't rush the ball on the late interception. They fell behind early. They're down 14-0 in the first quarter. And while they can throw to come back, they weren't able to stop. And New Mexico eats up the clock. And it's just hard to get back and get into these type of games. So let me ask you this question. New Mexico's 2-2. What's your confidence level that they could somehow reach six victories?
I'm feeling pretty good about it right now because you're talking about you're talking about they have to get to six wins, right? Or yeah. They have to get to seven. They have to get to six.
It's six.
Okay. They play New Mexico State next week. That's going to be a win.
Mm-hmm. 3-2.
That's 3-2. They play at Nevada. And Nevada could be tough, and we're going to talk about Nevada soon. But that could definitely go either way. They're going to play Hawaii, which should be a win.
Yeah, I would say the only thing about Hawaii, their defense is, we'll talk Wisconsin, only 28-0. Their defense held up quite well. It's the offense is their issue, I think, in the Warriors.
Yeah. Honestly, okay, fine. I was going to say confident, but now you're going to – They could beat Utah State, conceivably.
Ooh.
Here's the thing. These next five games, starting with this week versus New Mexico State, then at Nevada versus Hawaii,
hosting.
At San Jose State. Yeah. So hosting Hawaii at San Jose State and then hosting Utah State, that's going to tell us because they're definitely not going to beat Boise State, Colorado State, Air Force.
Air Force, you never know, but I would agree that I could see it happening, but I'm not confident in any sense of the meaning by that game. You're right because they're at what, two wins? They need to win. If they're going to go to a bowl game, they need to upset one of these teams because they're not going to win four in a row. I think they can beat Nevada. I don't think they will, but I think that could be. Nevada's been up and down. They played how I want them to play in the pistol offense, and they went over at Buffalo, but they're going to beat New Mexico State. They're at home versus Hawaii, and I think that's a victory. San Jose State will be tough, but then they get you're right, the Utah State game could be interesting because they get a bye week and then host Utah State.
And it's not like Utah State's looking really, there's a lot of issues with Utah State.
Defense is still okay. I just want to see what Kent Myers can do because if he can hook up with Hunter Sharp, I think they could be better with him than Tricky Keaton, but we'll see. And because last year, they either didn't trust him or they didn't want to expose him or the play calling to be simple to do those downfield passes. And that's what Hunter Sharp thrives at. So that's still a month away, 5 weeks away. But you're right because the last four games is brutal. Utah State at Boise, hosting CSU and Air Force. They could go 0-4 during that stretch. So They either need to win all. They need to win. Yeah, Utah State's the last winnable game, I think. And even then, it's like I'm still going to Utah State, but I get your point where they're up and down this year so far.
Yep.
And so Wyoming, are they? Oh man, they are terrible. Are they going to get a win this year? Should we go that way? Sorry, Cowboy fans. Sorry, Ben.
Sorry, Ben.
I want to pull up their schedule really quick because we don't need to make this a super long show. But I want to, if my computer would let me go to it, I would see.
I'm going to say no.
They play.
I'll go ahead. I'm going to say no.
Oh, there's no Hawaiian Cowboy Trophy this year.
And there's no Paniolo Trophy, but they're playing at Appalachian State, who just decimated their opponent, who decimated Old Dominion last week, 49-0.
Yeah, Appalachian State. That's on the road.
And then the only other game they could conceivably win is at home against UNLV.
Mm-hmm. And they get a bye week before that game too, which kind of sucks. But getting one so late.
We'll get to UNLV momentarily, but there might be Wyoming might not win a game this year.
Oh, Craig Bull. Should we just demote Wyoming to FCS and he'll run off some victories? Is that what we need to do?
No. Next game.
No. Yeah. Let's move on. Sorry, Wyoming fans. Let's go to Buffalo hosting Nevada. This is an odd. Not that it's odd to Mac, but this is like one of the furthest matchups to travel from Reno to Buffalo. And Nevada won, for those who are wondering. They did get the victory, which is nice. And this is the offense I wanted to see all year. James Butler rushed the ball well. Don Jackson.
This was our first group of five victory this year.
You sure? It was?
Yes. Yes.
That can't be right.
No, that's I'm completely and totally honest.
Wait, Boise State? Who did? No.
Beat two Power 5 teams.
Oh, you're right. Utah State? No.
Unless you count BYU as a group of five, even then we didn't beat BYU.
We didn't beat them.
Hail Marys.
It's not a win. First of all, it's not a win.
Because
Colorado State lost to Minnesota.
This is our first group of five win this year.
Can we count conference games? Because Air Force beat San Jose State.
No, can't count conference games.
Wow, I did not realize that. That's a good heads up on that. That's whatever. That's not good, I guess. But it also states the non-conference slate. We've been playing teams from the Pac-12. Look who Hawaii's been playing. There hasn't been as many opportunities as I'll spin it the positive way. Right? We've been playing teams like Oregon State.
Do you want to spin it the positive way? Still, only Boise State has been able to beat Power 5 teams this year.
Colorado State took two to overtime.
Which they should have beat by over 10.
They should have beat. All right, this game. My big concern is what's up with Tyler Stewart? 90 yards passing.
Pistol.
But I expect you need to have 150 from your quarterback. And he only had 3 rushing yards.
Yeah, this was slightly over 50% passing rate. James Butler came alive. That was good.
Yeah.
Finally.
Even if you take away that 91-yard touchdown run, which was amazing, he still had, this would have been pretty good.
80-something odd yards.
Yeah. But Jackson, it did well. Stewart, how is Sean Henderson getting only 2 receptions? He potentially, and I'm loosely wording that, potentially one of the best receivers in the conference. He has the talent to do that, and they're not getting him the ball enough.
I'm going to see. They're not telling me where incomplete is.
What do you mean, incomplete passes?
Yeah, incomplete.
Oh, who?
So first of all,
how many
Tyler
targets?
Stewart seems to, it seems to be Tyler Stewart's favorite target is Wyatt Dumps.
Awesome.
Or Wyatt Dumps. Yeah, Wyatt Dumps.
Get it to Henderson, man. He is the player. He's the, like, if you want the.
I have to make fun of this. Of course, first and 10 at the 25, Tyler Stewart's passing complete to Hassan Henderson. Of course, it's broken up by Boise.
What?
Defender's name is Boise Moss.
That is excellent. Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Yeah. So I guess Boise knows how to cover Hassan well.
There you go. You hate Nevada so much.
I hate Nevada so much. No, it's not even that, though. He had It seemed like Hassan Henderson in this game was covered a lot, because it seems like, looking at the play-by-play, he was getting, if the ball was incomplete to him, the balls just kept getting broken up. It wasn't just like he was overshooting or undershooting. Like, they were on target, but something wasn't happening, or connections weren't being made.
Yeah, this game, like, Nevada came up big in this game because they're winning 24-21. Buffalo scored, and Nevada had the punt, but then Wolfpack defense recovered a fumble and had an interception on Buffalo's last two chances. So the defense, which Nevada's defense isn't known to be anything special for the most part, is they stepped up to force two turnovers in the final, 6 or 8 minutes of this game. Offense kind of sputtered out, but without those two defensive plays, you had Joe, who was an interception, Damian Barber or Baber got the last interception to basically seal the game, seal the win. They had the fumble recovery by Alex and Bertardo, to another chance to not allow Buffalo to score. So this game, I didn't see any of this game, so that's why I'm kind of stumbling through. I just kind of followed along as I was out and about throughout the day. But defense came up huge, because without that, who knows? It could have been not a bad loss, but a loss Nevada probably didn't want in their books.
But defense came up huge. This would have been a bad loss if they had lost it, because Buffalo definitely had their chances to win this game. Mm-hmm. And not just that. I mean, the defense came up huge even after, I mean, Rakeem Yates got warned, got a personal foul for like a hit to the head. It wasn't a targeting, but he did get warned.
Helmet to helmet.
And so, I mean, really, after that, Nevada players were kind of, I don't want to say taking a step back or watching their step, but it could have gone
cautious.
Very poorly. It could have gone very poorly if Rakeem Yates had been ejected. And I mistakenly did tweet out that he got ejected, but
Was it like overturned? Because
No. I had actually changed the channel to the Penn State San Diego State game, and there was talk on Twitter that it looked like it was going to be a targeting penalty, but that's not what it was. And I mistakenly reported and then fixed it later after I saw the replay.
Okay, that's fine. It's a good win. Nevada, their schedule's been so tough. Playing Texas A&M, playing Arizona. That's fine. That's a good win for them. That's what they needed. They're 2-2. We'll probably talk about this for every West game, but are your West pecking order is probably mine. So like we said earlier, San Jose State. Do you have Nevada number 2 or San Diego State? Because we didn't go that deep in the
playoff. I got Nevada number 2.
I think I did as well. Because let's get to the next game. Let's get to that San Diego State Penn State game. Oh.
Yes, let's get to that. Let's get to this game of which Maxwell Smith. Not even 35% completion rate.
I believe I said
29.
I believe I wanted to get to 58%. I guess I should have cut that in half and added 5.
Yeah. Yeah. How about Donnell Pumphrey? Only 56 yards.
I don't know people are ticked about Rocky Long, which I get. I get, but I don't get. It's like he's brought the team up to a level of expectation, but he's not keeping it to that, despite having the best player in the conference right there, but he's not showing it too much. Their quarterback situation is a complete mess. Maxwell Smith is at Kentucky. Yeah, you're in the SEC and he started, but come on, it's Kentucky.
Yeah, and absolutely. And one thing that Pumphrey did well was he was able to receive balls out of the screenplay and out of the backfield to pick up some reception yards because he had 4. But, I mean, outside of that, just Smith got sacked like crazy. The only person who actually looked really good in this game was Rashad Penny. Rashad Penny was the only person who looked really, really good in this game. And that was because he had two kick returns from Penn State. The first one came back for a touchdown, and that's how San Diego State tied the game. It was a 100-yard touchdown kickoff reception.
So this was tied. And then, wait. So you're telling me this was tied before 0-0?
Yes, this was tied 7-7.
Okay,
yes, this was tied 7-7 after Penn State had scored. Immediately they kicked off. Rashad Penny returns at 100 yards for a touchdown. So then Penn State, you know, scores again, 10-7. They kick it off to Penny again.
Yeah.
So then what does he do? He returns it 35 yards to like the San Diego State at like 40 or something like that. Like, and then after that they kicked it off out of bounds. So I'm sorry. After that they kicked it off
out of bounds. Special teams.
Special teams just was not good.
Can you wait, I got to ask you a question about this. How did Rocky Logan make Christian Hattenberg look like an above average quarterback?
Didn't you know that Christian Hackenberg is supposed to be the number one quarterback that picked this year?
According to whom?
I don't know, but, you know.
Three touchdowns, nearly 300 yards passing. Jeez, I figured, like, I did a Q&A with the guys from Black Shoe Diaries. I figured with Jake Feely coming back for San Diego State, they run an intricate offense that could disguise a lot of plays, whether it be blitzes, three-man down, four, five guys down at times, 4-2. Something like that, 4-2-5, kind of mix it up. Because Temple sacked them 10 times. 10 times.
Feely got flagged for a lot of penalties.
Like what, defensive holding? Or?
Yeah, he got flagged, I think, for one defensive holding. He got flagged for
PI?
A roughing the passer at one point, mm-hmm. some couple pass interferences. Yeah, he was sloppy.
He's coming back from injury, but I figured with we see what Long could do to defensive or to teams, and Penn State doesn't strike me as this great offensive team. So I figured they can confuse him, they can make some moves on him, they could sack him. Because San Diego State only has 5 sacks all year, which kind of surprises me. And they did get 2 against Penn State, which is good, but they needed more than that to get the win.
And the other thing about San Diego State in this game. Missed tackles. So many missed tackles. I mean, it was...
Which is shocking for this type of team. They're usually pretty good defensively. And now they're... What do they have? Pumphreys? Is it the offensive line? Is it... I know it's a quarterback, but... Pumphrey had 100 total yards. Receiving and running. But they don't have a receiver throwing to Micah Holder. But, like again, 10 for 29. 10 for 29.
Yeah, it was bad. Sorry, you know what? San Diego State only had 4 penalties in this game. I thought they had more. Yeah. I know one of those is definitely on Feely. One of them was definitely on Whitaker. Maybe 2 were on Feely.
So they're 1-3. The West is a mess. So I honestly, I still wouldn't count them out winning the West, but they're not looking.
Well, you can't count anybody out winning the West.
I was going to count out UNLV, but they scored. They got an 80
spot. You can't count them out either.
I know it's Idaho State, and we'll talk about that later, but you scored 80 points. So let's move on to the, come on, Internet, next game. So we had Penn State, San Diego State, Aztecs. They're probably still in the running for the West. Not being more seriously, I'd still put them in the top half to win the West Division at this point. I wouldn't put them, anybody could win, but they're probably right, like we said, our order, San Jose, Nevada, than the Aztecs, and it's still pretty close, I would say. Oh, I love it. I refreshed my page. I got no games on week 4 for the Mountain West football. So, Chris, who's the next game we're going to talk about?
Aha. How about Colorado State, Texas, San Antonio?
Oh, man. You got to win. That's good, right?
Yeah. Did you watch this game at all?
I did not. I was busy all day. Then Utah, Oregon hopped on, and that was my delight of the night for how that ended up. So, no, I saw 0 of it.
I did not watch this game at all. I was out with people.
That's okay.
So,
we pay attention. We read stuff. I'm kind of halfway done with kind of my overreaction thing. I don't know how to overreact either way to this game because everybody did reasonably well. And so I can't make up I can't find a, maybe we can find a funny joke during this part, or some me trying to be humorous, and again, I'm getting half the games on here. I love
Stevens only passed for 50%, slightly over 50%.
But that's not too bad or anything to make fun of or make a good joke out of it, because everybody did pretty well. So I need your help to find something to overreact, positive or negatively, and I haven't been able to find it yet.
Bobo ran the dang ball.
I guess Jason Oden, different running back, had that big game with 143.
Yeah, it wasn't. Deontay Gaines.
Well, it's not. He had 0 carries, so we probably should look into why he didn't play. That's kind
He did play. He had 3 receptions for 36 yards.
Sorry, I didn't scroll down.
He's a wide receiver. So how did he have so many rushing yards last time unless there were just a whole bunch of fly sweeps?
That's a good point. I didn't realize that. I was weird, but that could be something. I'm trying to find something that's fun to write about for that little piece. But they beat UTSA. I wish Rams would won by more because UTSA, they're an exciting team, partly because of last year's near loss against Arizona State.
Or this year's near loss versus Arizona.
Oh, Arizona, that's what I mean. Yeah, but I mean last year they were up against them at home last year. But UTSA, they're just an exciting team, but they couldn't put it up. But the Rams, they finally, like Rashard Higgins, 5 for 103. The only thing I wanted to see, they did get Stephen Walker in the passing game because we harped on getting Kyvon Wright, Cartwright, and Stephen Walker in the game. They combined for 4 for 56, which is good. They have the talent wide receivers, Joe Hansley. They passed it around reasonably enough, but only 16 receptions, but no turnovers. They got the Rams got the big interception off Blake. I'm going to butcher his name. Bogenschutz. Is he German, you think? Blake Bogenschutz?
Bogenschutz.
Bogenschutz.
Bogenschutz. Yeah, probably.
And Rams kind of escaped the victory because they only got a field goal in that late in the fourth quarter where UTSA got a field goal. And it was 33-31, and the Rams is terrible. I don't know why they didn't run the ball as much. Okay, tell me, what would you do if you're leading 33-31 with about 8 minutes left in the game? What would you do on first down?
Run.
Okay, they passed. here's the 33-31 midway through the fourth quarter. Nick Stevens incomplete pass to Xavier Williams.
That's not how you run down time, Bobo. Yeah.
Jason Oden, a 1 yard gain. 39, you can go either way. I would probably prefer a run the way Oden's been playing. Nick Stevens caught his only pass, or excuse me, Kyvon Cartwright caught one of his passes
Kevin
for five.
Kyvon Cartwright?
Kyvon. It's Kivon, Kyvon, right?
Yeah, Kyvon Cartwright.
Sure, Cartwright, like in Seinfeld. Cartwright? Do you not know what that's from?
No, I totally. No, I know.
No, give me a courtesy chuckle. Come on, I feel like a dummy. Yelling Cartwright.
Cartwright.
I watched an episode the other day. It's hilarious. And then okay, they're at the 40-yard line. They punt, and then they stop UTSA, who had to punt as well. And that's where they got. It's where they got like not. There's a penalty that pushed them back. False start. So I just thinking the end of the game. Run a little more clock down. Do something. Run the ball. That's what you're known for, Coach Bobo. Run the ball.
Run the dang ball.
But like here, they'd make some good plays. Like this drive is exactly what he does. The touchdown or field goal to put him up 33-24. It was a 15-play drive, 84 yards, took 7:14 off the clock. And you have Jason Oden running the ball, passing the ball, a good combination of running and passing the ball. And so that was the drive that ate up, basically went through the third and fourth quarter. And yeah, you got a field goal when you're at the stupid 2 yard line. You're at the, I hate this stuff. First and goal at the 5, and you gain 2 yards overall. They got
If there's one, main complaint I have about this game, maybe for Colorado State. Mm-hmm. Outside of just some of the play calling, it's got to be Colorado State's defense sets the play a little bit better. They did win the turnover battle.
Mm-hmm. They stopped them late in the game when it counted.
You stopped them late in the game when it counted. But still, I mean, this is not exactly a game. You shouldn't have been able to give up 31 points in a little over in 23 minutes. Or 24 minutes, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's well, they got
Your offense was doing enough to win, but the defense shouldn't put them in a position that the offense just did just enough to win. Right? Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. They won. They're 2-2. Another close loss could have just crushed this team. Had they gave up a game-winning touchdown at the end, lose 38-33, that would have crushed this team, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. It would not have been good.
So they're 2-2. They're in conference play next week. They play Utah State, so that'll be interesting with Kent Myers under center for them and the Aggies without Chucky Keaton. So that'll be That could be the early game of the week. I haven't looked at the schedule, but that could be the early game of the week, possibly.
That could be. I think that might be.
I said I got to look at the schedule, first of all. Come on.
Well, you're not the one who determines game of the week.
I know.
Or at least on base.
Not yet, it's not. Well, not yet. Sorry, let me rephrase. I've yet to help you determine those, so that's all you, and those are appreciative. Especially the what to wear is always helpful, because I try to find to buy that stuff, because it's always cool. So Chris has your style tips for college football.
Yeah.
All right, next game. Next game is something I don't have in front of me. Love this. Love this. This technology we call internet.
Hawaii lost to Wisconsin. Moving on.
Well, should we move on that quickly?
No, we shouldn't.
We're not going to spend as much time on it, but it was only 28-0. I get it only, but I watched part of this game because on in the during the same time I was watching Utah Oregon, so I was kind of going back and forth my dual screen there. They were stopping Wisconsin periodically. It's just a dang offense can't get going.
If Hawaii had any semblance of an offense, you know, they could easily. I think they could have made this closer than it already was. And I say already was very lightly because Wisconsin only scored 7 points each quarter. Like it was 28-0, but it was a perfect 7-0, 14-0, 21-0, 28-0. Like
it's a grind.
Hawaii's defense was holding Wisconsin to whatever it was. The problem is you have Max Whittick, who hasn't been exactly efficient, under 50%. And then is this a receiver? I'm not sure who this guy is. McCullough Kamanse Stevens.
I believe so.
Yeah, he's a wide receiver. So there were probably a couple trick plays in there. He was 1 for 2, 51 yards. So, I mean, the trick plays had sort of worked, but, you know, the rushing, Paul Harris, only 6 carries. Like, this team only had 18 carries total.
Yeah, they're not running the ball very much.
They're not running the ball very much, but when they are running the ball, they're not being very successful in running the ball, mainly because Max Whittick is getting sacked half the time. But the other thing, you had Paul Harris, 6 carries for 22 yards, which is, it's not good, but it's not bad either. Yeah, it's Steven Laka, 4 carries for 11 yards.
Why is he not getting the ball more?
I don't know.
Because he showed stuff last year where he did pretty well moving the ball, running it. So,
But then you have the receivers, right? Who, without looking at the box score, who do you think would have had the top receptions?
Marcus Kemp.
Yeah, he had 1 reception yesterday.
Maybe Wisconsin was shadowing him and making sure he wouldn't get the ball because he is really their only good offensive weapon.
Maybe, because that 1 reception was for 17 yards, so you do get him out in front. He does damage. But look at this. So 16 receptions total for Hawaii, right? Paul Harris had 1 reception for 51 yards. Dylan Colley, 2 receptions for 28 yards. Marcus Kemp, 1 reception for 17 yards. Metuisela Unga, 1 reception for 10 yards. Devin Stubblefield, 1 reception for 0 yards. But really, who did I miss in there? Quinton Pedroza, the number 2 wide receiver, 10 receptions, 134 yards. So
not bad.
You know, when Whittick was actually able to throw the ball and the receivers were able to catch the ball, they were getting first downs every single time.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, you can't just 16 receptions. If you're trying to be a pass heavy team and you're only going to give your rushers 18 carries total, you got to be completing more passes. Well, I mean, that number has to go up.
Here's a couple of reasons for that. Reasons for the game. Whittick was sacked 3 times. 11 penalties for 100 yards also does not help go in your favor. They were third of 12 on third down. However, the defense held Wisconsin to 4 of 10, which is not too bad. Also, here's the – maybe this is a fun fact of the game. You know Hawaii got the ball at the 1-yard line? However, penalties pushed them back, so they ended up attempting a 49-yard field goal, which they obviously missed.
How do you have that many penalties? And you started at the 1?
They're at the 1, got 30 yards worth of penalties.
Oh my goodness. now that's an issue. It's not even funny.
Kind of is. Oh, that's enough on this game. One quick thing, though. Have you been monitoring the Australia bowl game or Australia preseason game?
No.
This game, this team at Hawaii, is in close negotiations open next year against Cal in Australia. Just saying.
Oh, that should be fun. If Hawaii actually has a good team next year, it'll be fun because you know Cal's going to be.
Well, it depends if Jared Goff is still around. He might go to the NFL.
No, Jared Goff's a senior. But no, if you're not talking about Sonny Dykes, yeah, he is.
I thought, oh, he is already? I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he should. Regardless, he should. But here's the question I have for you. Who's going to be the Hawaii coach and quarterback?
Who cares? Because Norm Chow's probably retiring after this year.
Okay, we'll see. Their team. I
don't know. Hawaii's sitting at 2-2. I don't think any of us were we really expecting them to be sitting at 2-2 after this year?
No, and they showed up against Ohio State and Wisconsin. Well,
I think I was. I think I did predict them to be 2-2 because I did predict the Colorado victory. But I mean,
it's not out of the question to be 2-2. Not,
yeah,
preseason I should say. And then next week they play Boise State, which geez, it'll be an
question is. How ugly is it going to get, or is it going to be like Ohio State and Wisconsin?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out. We'll see. Move on.
If Boise State turns this into a complete rout like how they did against Virginia, I think, yeah.
Is this at Boise too, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, because Hawaii, we know they rack up the frequent flyer miles, but man, this is getting out of hand. To Wisconsin, to Ohio State, to Boise in the first month. Whew. All right, let's wrap this up. Next game. UNLV, 80.
80, Burger.
80-8. Yes, it's Idaho State. I don't
80
care,
for the first time in history.
49-0. Wait, I can't do my math there. Sorry, 52-0 at the half. 52 first half points.
Just to let you know, Boise State beat Idaho State last year 52-0, or last week 52-0.
UNLV's better than Boise State.
Let's not go that far. But you know what? UNLV, oh my goodness, 80 points. I mean, this has got to be, if anything, this was just making a statement. And we knew this about UNLV, right? They had nearly beat Northern Illinois, but lost in the last minute. They were hanging around with Michigan, really not letting them get away, but not really like letting them blow them out.
Yeah,
and that ended up 28-7.
Yeah, 27.
Right.
And UCLA was 30-3 or 30-10. So reasonably, they're basically in the game enough to be that thorn in the side of your foot where you got to try to do some stuff. You weren't just
exactly.
having
exactly. Which is what I said was against, especially against the good teams like UCLA and Michigan. I mean, this was a change UNLV, and you really can't see it because wins and losses, and you're still getting blown out, but it's a different era. Remember, in the Bobby Houck era, UNLV lost to FCS teams twice.
And they gave up in games.
Yeah, they lost to Southern Utah. They lost to Northern Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
They barely beat Northern Colorado last year. Tony Sanchez was not going to stand for that. Tony Sanchez said, here's your throat, here's the curb, here's my foot, and just
boom.
Step.
Yeah.
Everything.
Because Idaho State, here's the thing. Yes, they don't have Don Bailey anymore as their OC, but they can still put up yards. And they only put up, UNLV held them to 292 yards. Which for them, that's perfully fine. Here's probably one of the biggest stats. 1 of 17 on third downs. Yeah, Idaho State did get 20 of those overall first downs, but 1 of 17, their defense was showing up when it mattered. They forced them to punt. They forced 4 fumbles, recovered 2 of them. This was a game where I don't care who they're playing for. UNLV, people were making fun, oh, it's Idaho State, whoever. I don't care. They never get these type of victories ever.
Yeah, exactly. And I've watched UNLV long enough to know they don't get these kinds of victories ever. When it's a blowout, it's never more than, you know, by 20-something points.
They're the team that loses 80-8.
Exactly. They're the team that, like, gets creamed 50, 60 something to nothing. You know, it's been historical. This was, in all sense of purposes, a historic win for UNLV.
Most points.
Four interceptions.
Yeah, most points since.
How about this?
Nebraska Omaha in 76.
Yeah. Almost three. So you had two UNLV rushers go for over 100 yards. Keith Whiteley, 5 yards away. And then George Nalfahu, who only played the fourth quarter, racked up 76 yards and could have easily got to that 100 point if he really wanted.
He should be playing more, I think. He should be playing more.
Yeah. 517 yards rushing, 6 touchdowns on the ground. Okay. Blake Decker, 7 for 11, 99 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 picks. He got replaced at halftime. Kurt Palandek only had 4 attempts, completed 3 of them for 10 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know?
I noticed that, too. I'm looking at the box score. I'm like, they scored 80 points and only threw that many yards? I'm like, all right, then. Sure.
They scored 10 touchdowns.
Good for them.
Exactly.
Let's move on. Well, for UNLV, you're probably not any more confident.
And let's not forget a pick six in there.
There you go. Really quick, this doesn't make you too much more confident UNLV, does it? Or pretty much the same? A little bit?
Define pretty much the same.
Well, I mean, your expectations. I know this win is bigger than expected, but like rest of the way, you're probably... Does this change your perception of them all that much?
I said they were going to win possibly 3 to 4 games this season. Yeah, it's about the right.
Okay.
It gets me really excited for the Cannon this week.
Oh, that's just
sweet. If anything, it gets me super excited for Cannon.
We need to
this week, yeah.
That's right. We have Brian Pulley tweeting out a few months ago. All he did was tweet a picture of the Cannon. That's all he did. Following up to Tony Sanchez saying, I got a spot for the Cannon. And then Pulley's tweet was just a photo of last year's score in Cannon. That's all it was. So, love it. Next game, final game. Go ahead. Yeah. Anything else to add?
Cannon is going to be fun this year.
It'll be exciting. Fresno State, not very good. San Jose State looked pretty good. 49-23. About 5 minutes before kickoff, which was probably the worst kept secret ever, Zach Greenlee did not suit up for the game due to being arrested underage drinking the week prior. However, the team released to every media member that the soccer player who was arrested would miss their game Friday night. So you put two and two together, he wasn't playing. Even though they announced pregame, but it's really, it's like, okay, cool, we know that. He's out. I don't think it would have mattered, do you?
No, I don't think so, but, you know.
Tyler Irvin, holy crap.
And Joe Gray played in this game. We weren't sure if Joe Gray was going to play.
That's true.
But he came out 20 for 23. Quick math in your head. What does that come out to be in terms of completion percentage?
Is that over 90%?
It's actually 88%. Oh. But, I mean, who's counting by that point?
You are, barely. 3 touchdowns. Irvin, okay, for my underdog polite, who'd you put as your MVP or player of the week?
I went with the homer pick.
Oh.
I went with Brett Rypien.
Oh, him. Okay, I went with Tyler Irvin going for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I forgot that Tyler Irvin racked up that many yards, but it doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't?
No, because look at what Fresno State has just been beaten down. And Irvin before the 300 yards, by the way.
He ran the ball 42 times. Irvin before, 42 rushes. Jeez. It's not Navy.
Right. So, I'm telling you. Look. Before Irvin had rushed for 300 yards last night, before that point, he's rushed for 341 yards against much, much more difficult competition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he's been averaging pretty darn well. So, he'd been averaging like 5.9, almost 6 yards a carry.
This was 9 plus.
So he was, what?
This is not over 9 yards of carry. Right about there.
Yeah.
And he also, yeah. we forgot to say, he caught 4 for 45.
Yeah, which tallies it on to make his season total 16 receptions for 137. So he does get the ball through the air as well as on the ground.
So what do we make of Fresno? Because Matt did a pretty good...
Is it nice to say that this is this year's Jay Ajayi?
Yeah, for touches, yeah. I could see that for right now. Production, yeah, we'll see. We're getting there. It's a huge game. But for touches, naturally.
But, I mean, this is... I think also part of the reason why they gave the ball to Irvin so much was because when you open up the running game, if you're giving up first downs, I mean, I'm just going to look at play by play here. Okay.
I don't know the other ones.
So Billy Freeman got past first play for San Jose State.
Thank you, bud.
Joe Gray completes 12 yards, okay?
Yes.
Then Irvin rushes for 4 yards. Then Irvin rushes for 4 yards. Then Irvin rushes for 3 yards. Okay, nothing great. And then all of a sudden, Irvin just explodes through the end of that first half. So it was 21-10. Yeah, and towards the end of that first half is really when he exploded. And after that, it was. If you look at, let's see if I can bring up Stat Broadcast.
What are you
because
looking for then?
There's.
Exactly?
What?
What are you looking for exactly then?
I'm looking for Irvin's first half stats versus his second half stats.
Gotcha.
What?
No, nothing. Sorry. So, go ahead. Do you think it was all split evenly? Because I didn't really watch much of this. I saw a little bit of it when it was out of hand.
I'm not sure if it was split evenly. That's what I'm trying to find out. I think most of his yards and stuff came in the second half.
Well, here's the thing, though. Fresno State, like, geez. I did see their awesome touchdown they somehow scored, which is pretty cool, where the toss back to whoever and they caught it for 10 yards to score. But
yeah, I saw that. That was a great play.
Go read Matt Kennerly's recap of this game because it does a very good job of going through the game. They've played a tough slate so far. They got Utah's, obviously good. Ole Miss. They played some tough games, and then we did. We mentioned the spleen beginning of the game. They're down to Zach Greenlee, and that's about it because Ford Childress is out for who knows how long with the spleen, and then there's also Chase and Virgil's out for the year as well. So they're down to they're getting pretty thin at quarterback, and it was already an unsettled position.
Right.
But the running,
yeah.
Fresno State, the rush defense is not very good. They're still, could I say they're still recovering from losing all those NFL talent? But I don't think Tim Drueter is going to be around much longer because outside of having Carr with him, Derek Carr, he hasn't been very good.
Yeah, it wasn't, he just, it's almost been unnerving. Like how much this team has fallen.
And even when Martin,
does that make sense?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Well, here's the thing. They had five guys in the NFL. You have Carr. You have Davante Adams, who's doing reasonably well in Oakland. Isaiah Burst guy shot in the NFL. Tyler Wentworth, the starting center. And then they also had Josh Harper, I believe, who's in the NFL as well. So they lost five NFL guys on one team. That's any team that, even if you're a good team, like, I'm talking, like, top 25 team. Losing five guys to NFL in 2 years is still a pretty big deal. They just don't have the backups to come in to replace that same type of production. It's same kind of with San Jose State. David Fells was a pretty big get for them. They're finally, it looks like they're close to recovering of that part to where they're becoming a better team. Getting closer, I would say. But they're in the same situation. But losing that amount of NFL talent, unless you're a team like, in our level, Boise State, but if you're looking at other teams like Florida, Alabama, teams like that, USC to some extent at the moment, they're losing guys to the NFL, but they have guys to back up to come in and play, and Fresno does not have that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm doing this.
Did you find it yet?
No, so I'm doing this by hand.
Okay.
So.
Go for it. I don't know what to make of Fresno State because it's like reading through Matt's recap. I'm trying to pull up here. He put some rushing stats in the game, but they've already played their tough non-conference game. San Jose State, that's why I kind of picked them to win, or Fresno to win, because they held Marquise Waller to under 100 yards rushing. And we kind of figured that, oh, he'll just run like crazy. He had 72 yards, which is not great, 19 for 72, but we kind of figured he'll just run, and that's how they'll win the game. They were unable to run to that level, what I thought they should have to win. Childress was terrible.
That's what I thought. Okay, yep.
What is it? Did you find it?
So Irvin had 300 yards yesterday, right?
Yes, we established that.
How many yards did he have in the first half?
82.
110.
So almost reasonably split, almost 60-40.
That's more than 60-40, my friend. But basically, he broke out in that second half.
Oh, 2-1. Yeah, 3-1, I guess. Yeah, 190 to 110.
Yeah, it's...
Almost 2-1, just, you're right. 2-1, yeah.
Yeah, he just completely just destroyed Fresno State in that second half. Because I remember the first half, they were actually containing him pretty well.
Yeah, pretty well for 110 yards.
pretty well for 100. Hey, you know what? Each one of those things, 110 divided by, 20 carries.
Mm-hmm. So almost 5 yards a carry. Just under 4.
Yeah, versus 190 divided by 20.
Yeah, so what do we say about...
Talk about 9.5.
Dim, so what do you expect for Fresno State the rest of the way then? I put them, I told you, I put them 11th in my power poll. They're behind Hawaii and UNLV.
Yeah, they need to do something. If they don't.
Is DeRuiter real? Is he going to, could he be gone end of the year?
No, I don't think he'll be gone at the end of the year.
What it will take then? Because they went to the title game last year. They've been to multiple bowl games every year he's been in town. But
I think he'll take, I don't think one bowl game, missing out on one bowl game is going to.
Yeah, but they're 6-8 last year as well. And each bowl game they've been in, even with Derek Carr, they've been embarrassed in every bowl game he's been a part of.
Yeah.
USC and the Las Vegas Bowl, back-to-back Hawaii Bowls when it was SMU and Rice last year. So
not making a bowl game is much worse than making and getting blown out.
I know, but you had a losing record last year. You lucked into bowl games due to an exception.
I guess.
I just think it doesn't look very good there, and it's. I don't know. And as for San Jose State, they're like I said, they're shoots them to the top of the West Division. Because they hung with Air Force. I get it's all but one. You've got to play a complete game. But outside of that fourth quarter, they were right there with Air Force. Their rush defense just fell apart in the final quarter with 3 unanswered touchdowns. So who do you got next week? Is this our Western Conference pillow fight of the week? Fresno State at San Diego State.
Ooh, shots fired. Shots fired. I don't think it's going to be pillow fight of the week, but I think that... If San Diego State loses to Fresno State, we're going to be having to talk about more about Rocky Long on the hot seat more than Tim DeRuiter.
So who needs that win more then? Who needs to win more then?
I think Rocky Long needs to win more.
You do?
I really do.
I think they equally both need to win the game.
Yeah, but both people can't win a game.
Okay, here's an update on Ford Childress from Bruce Feldman of Fox. Season-ending injury, having had surgery this morning for Ford Childress. So he's out for the year. So they're down to Zach Greenlee, and who threw the one pass last night? That was Kelton Anderson. Is that who that was?
I think so.
I don't have it up here anymore, but that's it's tough news for them. All right, here's what we got. We have one question on the night from our good friend, our Fresno guy, Tim Suzev, I believe. Sorry if I butcher your name, but my dog's cool. Yeah. My dog's cool on Twitter. So, Chris, what type of drink is Zach Greenlee? Is he referring to what he drank last week, or what type of beverage he should be referred to?
No, like what kind of, like, say, like Zach Greenlee? It's like what kind of drink is
That's what I
thought. Your team, like,
that's what
I thought. Create a drink for your team, like, yeah. Well, he's not very good.
So it's bitter? Is it a bitter drink?
Bitter? No, not necessarily bitter. He's not very good, but can be, you know, good under certain circumstances.
She acquired taste?
I don't think he's acquired taste. I think people really want to like him.
So what?
He's Canadian Club whiskey.
There we go.
I gotta make sure I'm on that.
Canadian Club whiskey.
Yeah.
All right then. Sure.
BS.
What do you got?
They say Canadian Club is. People say Canadian Club is good. I don't think that's right. Okay, fine. If Canadian Club is very tasty, I don't know. Go like Evan Williams. There you go.
Perfect.
Evan Williams isn't very good. People want to like it though, and you know, throw a little bit of Coca-Cola or 7-Up in there. It can be pretty tasty. There you go. Evan Williams. Canadian Club.
Do we have anything else?
Anyway.
I think we're done here. Anything else to add to this lovely show we did this evening?
No.
Okay. No, that's fine. I'm just curious if there's any thoughts you want to talk about, anything else. But we're good to go. We can.
I want to share my feelings on the internet? Is that what you're asking me?
No. Well, you know, I'm just saying any random thoughts. We didn't really go off topic one bit this show. So.
I know it's good. We still went over an hour.
Well, that's our recording time. That's not actual. We'll see how once I edit it up the first 5 or 10 minutes of us chatting. But that's it. That's what we got for tonight. Check us out. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a review. I say this every time. 5 stars, but tell us if we suck or whatever your official opinion is of us. But give us 5 stars on Stitcher, on iTunes. Subscribe on SoundCloud. That's probably my recommended method because I love their app and how it works, Stitcher and SoundCloud. I don't have an iPhone. I don't use iTunes, so I know a ton of people do, but it's not for me. Do you have an iPhone, Chris, or are you an Android man?
I do not. No, I'm an Android.
Or not a Windows Phone guy? The 1% people, 2% that have a Windows Phone?
Nope.
Good. My wife had one. She got it for the camera, but the phone sucked, apparently, so we switched pretty quickly. That's where you can subscribe to our stuff there. Find it. Comment on the show. What do you like? What you don't like? We got really quick. What's our game schedule next week? Are there Friday night games? Do you have that available?
Nope. Let me bring it up real quick.
Yeah,
you're making me do all the work here.
Sorry. Conference play is ramping up. I know we did mention the Fresno San Diego State game. That's a big one. We got Colorado State, Utah State. Boise's playing somebody. I don't recall who. Yeah. Hawaii. They're playing Hawaii. That's on ESPN2. I recall that was announced last week.
So we have the first leg of the Commander in Chief's Trophy. That's Saturday morning.
Are there any Friday games?
Saturday. It's no Friday games.
Whoa.
So we got Air Force Navy.
Thursday? Check Thursday.
No Thursday. Our first game is Air Force Navy.
Ooh, excellent. All Saturday games. I love it.
Yeah. We got a couple rivalry games this week.
Cannon. The Cannon. Boom.
We got the Cannon. We got the Commanders in Chiefs. We've got Is it Utah State, Colorado State, the one with the rifle?
No, that's Utah State, Wyoming.
Okay.
But isn't Fresno, San Diego State, the oil can?
Yes, Fresno State, San Diego State is the oil can. We got the Rio Grande rivalry, which is New Mexico, New Mexico State.
Perfect. That's what we got next week. So check us out as Chris is yawning as we end the show. He's getting tired.
Sorry.
There. No, that's fine. It's dinner time for at least for me, close to you at this moment, but. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. Subscribe, like I said, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. Let's get Greek Padre to 500 followers. Let's do a quick courtesy check really quick, if my internet allows me to.
166?
Sure, that sounds good.
I know that's how many I have.
Yes, I know, that's what I said. Yes, that's good. You're at 466. Get them to 500. But check us out, and again, we hate every team. Oh. We love every team equally. And yeah, check us out and hope you have a good time, and we will see you guys next week.